Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Ask yourself this question concerning one aspect of your relationships with others. Ask yourself, am I a person who spreads joy wherever I go? Am I a person who spreads joy wherever I go? As you think about that question and you find Galatians 5 in your Bible, let me tell you what happened to a lady named Ms. Monroe from Darlington, Indiana. It happened a few years ago. An article was written about her. Mrs. Monroe had 5 children. She was at the store. When she gets back from the store, the house is quiet, but she knows the kids are inside. If you've got kids, multiple kids, and it's quiet when you come back in, you know something's up, right? It's never quiet when you have multiple kids in your house. And so she's looking for them. She sees them in the living room, and they're sitting all together, and they're looking at something. Now, she can't tell what it is that they're looking at, so she just kind of sneaks up on them, peers over their shoulder, and as her 5 kids are enamored with what is before them, she sees 5 baby skunks. Now, at this moment, Ms. Monroe makes a relationship mistake. And instead of whispering, "Kids, let's get out of here," she screams, "Kids, let's get out of here!" Now, that startles the kids because they didn't realize she was in the room with them. And so all 5 kids each grab a skunk and take off in 5 different directions with the skunks. And she screams, "Kids, no!" Now, this causes the kids to become even more scared. Isn't that what we do in relationships? We make one mistake, and then we compound it by making another mistake. Well, she compounded their fear by screaming, "Kids, no!" And do you know what kids do when they get scared? They squeeze! And so all 5 of her kids squeeze these baby skunks running through the house, spreading anything but joy throughout the interior of their homes. Ms. Monroe reflects later in the article that tells this story and profoundly states, "Skunks don't like to be squeezed." So kids, this morning, as we're talking about what we're spreading as we go, would you draw me a picture of what you think it looked like in that house, Miss Monroe's house, with those 5 kids all holding on to a baby skunk, squeezing it, and the skunk spraying his stink all throughout the house. What do you think that house looked like? When you're finished this morning, put your artwork on my board out in the Home Life Center. I can't wait to see what you think that picture looks like. So as you think about that story and you think about that question that I asked you to consider earlier, what is it that you are spreading in your relationships? When you get into a room, do you spread joy? Wherever you go, you and I should be people who aspire to spread joy, to be a person of joy. Joy in our homes, at the office, spreading joy. Joy at the grocery store. Joy in traffic. Yes, even in traffic, we should aspire to spread joy wherever we go. I loved it. Linda Flowers walked up to me this morning and peeled back her coat. She's wearing a shirt that says joy. She said, "I'm spreading joy. I'm in the middle of this series." Linda, way to go. You're spreading the joy. Now, you're having some knee surgery tomorrow, so Bill, don't put that shirt on and say, "Come on, keep spreading joy." Give her a little time. She may be a little sore. I love you, Linda. I'm praying tomorrow goes well.
praying for others who have been sick and who just have needs. When you write those needs down on that Connect card, we really do pray for you and want to walk alongside you. And I'm praying that joy would be a part of what your life is spreading and gets spread as we walk together. Let me just ask you again, are you a person of joy? When people think about you, do you have to be wearing a shirt that says joy for them to go, oh yeah, joy? Or does it just naturally follow you? Joy. Joy. See, God desires for our lives to be producing joy so that we can spread joy and share joy and give joy to others wherever we go. As we read through Galatians 5, we see the Apostle Paul tells us that there are some things that we can spread in our relationships that kind of like those baby skunks, they just stink. There's some stuff in our lives, if we're not careful, if we're not mindful, if we're not growing to be more like Christ, that can really stink up a room, that can stink up a relationship. He starts listing these things off in Galatians 5:19. He calls these stinkers the works of the flesh. Look with me in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19. Paul is writing to his friends at the church in Galatia, and he says this: now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He's saying there's all kinds of things that can cause our relationships to stink and not be where God desires them to be. And the reason this is so is due to the fact that there are just things that were in us and are in us when left to ourselves, when left to our flesh and blood, that just stink inside of us and cause adverse effects on our relationships. And the goals that we have for our relationships end up not being met because of these works of the flesh that are stinking up the joint. And as followers of Jesus, we have the opportunity to enjoy another way of living that can really bless our relationships. And here's some good news for you. Here's some really, really good news for you. When you make that decision in your life to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, to become one of His followers, not only does Jesus forgive you of all of your sin, past, present, and future, not only in that moment does Jesus become the Lord and Savior of your life, not only does Jesus in that moment rescue you from sin, death, Satan, and hell, but also when you make that choice to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, the Bible teaches that in that very moment, you receive His Holy Spirit into your life for the rest of eternity. In that moment. And His Holy Spirit then lives inside of you and helps to guide you. He helps you through life in every single circumstance that you face. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you strength no matter what it is that you're facing in your relationships and in your circumstances. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you all you need to be who God desires for you to be. If you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and that's something that you'd like some help with, I invite you again to fill that little Connect card out and just mark the little box on here that says, I would like information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And bring that to me or leave it in your seat when we're done. I'd love to follow up with you and help you know how to do that in a way that you can be sure that you're a follower of His and the Holy Spirit lives in you and thus you are positioning yourself for the nine to be demonstrated as Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, grows them in your life. And how the things that are stinking up your relationships can begin to go. And the fruit of the Spirit, the virtues of the Holy Spirit, can begin to spread in a good way. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is at work in our lives. And you may just be sitting there going, man, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be at work in my life? What does that really look like? It's really not as crazy and as mystical as you might think. As a matter of fact, if we keep reading in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it tells us again what the Holy Spirit of God looks like when he is at work in our lives. Look at what God's Holy Spirit produces inside the lives of those with whom he now is living, according to verses 22 and 23. And it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. That's the one we're talking about today. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And these are the nine things that can change your relationships. I mean, think about it. Where else can you express these nine virtues unless you are inside a relationship with someone else, be that a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, wife, parent, child, roommate, friend? Relationships. That's where the nine are meant to be demonstrated and spread. So let's dig in with our remaining time to this second of the nine that's on the list, joy. Again, are you a person of joy, a person who spreads joy? Now, let me be really clear. I'm not talking about are you a person of happiness. You see, happiness and joy are two totally different things. Happiness depends on happenings. If Dez were to caught that ball, which he did catch the ball in Green Bay 2 years ago. Amen? Yeah. I was not happy. But I still was joyful. Why? Because joy doesn't depend on happenings. Happiness depends on happenings. I plan to be happy about 6 o'clock tonight. When the Cowboys advance to the NFC Championship. Amen? Yeah. Prayer meeting in your own house. Starting at 3:30. God doesn't care who wins, unless it's the Cowboys that are playing. See, joy is not depending on what's happening all around you. See, joy, happiness is an outside job. Joy is an inside job. Joy is something God's doing on the inside. It's not something that we're manufacturing on the outside or that's dependent on our surroundings. Joy is something given to us by God, no matter what those circumstances are on the outside. And as we talked about last week from John chapter 15, as we are staying connected to Jesus the vine, as we are his branches, that is positioning us to receive and to have the fruits of the Spirit developed and grown in our lives. The John 15 challenge, and I wonder if anybody's been doing it. I challenge you, if you read John 15 every day last week, that it'd change your life. If you read John 15 every day throughout this whole series for 9 weeks, it'll change your family. And if you read John 15 for a whole entire year every day, it'll change your legacy. I challenge you. There were 10 graduating seniors at a Disciple Now weekend. I went back and led at my home church over the weekend. There were 50 in the room, and 10 of them said, I'm going to take that challenge. Who knows the trajectory of their life if they really do it and read John 15 for a year? What would it look like in your life? I don't know, but I do know this. When it comes to joy, I know where it comes from. Joy comes from the Lord. Would you just say that with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. So how do you become a person of joy? What can we do to cooperate with God's Spirit as He's producing joy in our lives? Well, one thing that I think we need to begin to do is this. We need to weed out the joy killers. We need to weed out the joy killers in our lives. There are things in our lives that can kill our joy, steal our joy, if we do not care for the soil of our souls. Think of your life. Think of your soul like a garden, and your heart like the soil in a garden. If you could look into your heart, what does your heart look like? What is the condition of your heart, the soil of your soul look like? See, before your life is going to produce good fruit, we need to engage with God in preparing and tending the soil of our soul, the soil of our lives that may be having some things, some weeds in our lives that are hindering that growth. Let me show you a before and after picture of a garden that has been weeded. The one on the left, man, that garden has been overgrown. I mean, there's some stuff growing there, but all the surroundings are just kind of encroaching upon it. And then the one on the right, man, it's the same place, but it's just kind of had some things cut back. It's had some things organized. It's had some soil weeded and nurtured and turned over and some things planted. And once that's been planted, you can't just go off and leave it because everything around it is going to be trying to encroach upon it. But when looking at those two pictures right there, which one represents your heart the most right now? What does your heart look like the best right now? Just where you are. Or is your life just encroaching on you? Has it got weeds in it? Does it need some care? Or man, have you begun to start weeding out some stuff? Start cutting some things back, creating some space for good growth to happen. See, before our hearts can really thrive and our lives can grow great fruits like joy, we need to do some soul care, join God in what He's doing, some heart care, some soil cultivation and weeding. We got to weed out those joy killers in our lives. Let me show you what I mean. In Luke chapter 8, turn to back to the left to Luke chapter 8. I want to show you one verse. In verse 14, Jesus is teaching about different types of soil that receive seed from a farmer, okay? Now, this is a parable Jesus is teaching, and the seed He's talking about is the Word of God, okay? Seed represents the Word of God in this parable. And depending on the condition where the seed falls, the seed of our lives, our hearts, depending on the soil of our hearts is going to depend on whether or not healthy fruit is going to grow according to what Jesus is saying. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus is talking about some things that hinder, that kill out the seed producing fruit in the soil of the hearts of the people who receive this seed, meaning people who receive, hear the Word of God, the Word of truth. And Jesus says in Luke 8:14, and as for what seed fell among the thorns, there are those who hear the Word of God, the Word of truth. But as they go on their way, as they live their lives and do their thing, those seeds are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Their fruit does not mature. So in this verse, Jesus lists three different things that are joy killers, that kill our joy and cause the fruit of joy not to mature fully. And so think about it with me. If you are not a person of joy today, it may just be because one of those three things is weeding up the soil of the garden of your heart and is killing and strangling and choking out your joy. Think about that with me. Do you have cares in your life that are killing your joy? Do you have riches in your life that are killing your joy? Do you have pleasures that you're pursuing in life that are killing your joy? Perhaps you've got a cocktail, a lethal combination of a couple or three of those things, and it's killing your joy, and you're leading and experiencing a joyous life. Cares, riches, pleasures of life can become weeds in the garden of our soil, of our heart, that can choke out and kill off our joy. Let's think about each of those for a second, very briefly. Do you have cares in your life, cares in your mind that cause you to worry all the time? Some of you are just expert worriers, not warriors, okay? Worriers. And man, I mean, interest rates are pretty good right now, but you're worrying that they're probably going to go high. Stock market's doing pretty well right now, but you're worrying any day now. You're worrying about transfer of White House leadership. You're worrying about Cowboys. And don't worry about that, man. Come on. We're praying at 3:30, remember? You're worry. Man, you're worried that you're behind on your New Year's resolutions. You're worried about the credit card bill that just came from Christmas. You're like, oh my gosh. You worry. You worry about so much about what's happening tomorrow, and in part, that may be why you're not experiencing joy today. The word worry literally means to choke out. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus said that not only do the cares, the worries, choke out our joy, but also riches can do that. Riches can choke out our joy. I saw somebody just take a deep breath and go, whew, not talking about me, because I'm not rich. Well, let me remind you that 80% of the world lives on less than $1 a day. So when you think about where you are in the context of the world, you're loaded. You're rich. And I'll just confess, I'd rather be rich than poor. If I had to choose, load me up. Rich people have different options than poor people do. I'm an options guy. Just confessing. It's okay to have wealth. It's not okay to hoard it. Be a greedy religious weasel. Remember when we were little kids, what our parents teach us? Share. I think that's part of why God's blessing our church. Because we're sharing, not going, mine. No, share. He does things when you share and trust Him. So if you live in America, you're loaded, you're rich compared to the rest of the world, and being rich isn't bad. But it'll produce bad results if you try to link your joy to it. It sure will. And Jesus says, watch out. Don't try to connect your joy to your stuff. Don't try to connect your joy to what you have or what you're trying to acquire. As a matter of fact, it's been said, the more stuff you own, the more the stuff owns you. And all the stuff, all of our riches can choke out our joy. Choke it out. Can choke it out. Jesus said, man, your joy can be killed by the weed of worry, by the weed of riches, and by the weeds of pleasure. The word pleasure in the Greek is the word hedonon. Hedonon, we get our word hedonism from it, and it means shallow emotion that's fun for a moment. Shallow emotion that's fun for a moment. And again, it's not necessarily bad. There's some really fun stuff that happens in a moment. Really good stuff. But again, if you're trying to link your joy to the fun that happens in the shallow emotion in a moment, you just can't get rooted and deep and grow any kind of joy that's going to be lasting. No healthy fruit comes from shallow roots. And so many of us are not going God's way when it comes to pleasure, and we instead are diving headlong into the pleasures of the world that just last for a moment, and we wonder why we're not producing fruit in our lives. It's because we're trying to root joy in a shallow, fun for a moment emotion. And it just can't happen. It can't sustain that kind of growth. And Jesus says, be careful about trying to find your joy and your pleasures of this world and only produce a momentary feeling of exhilaration. It just can't happen. So of these three things that we're talking about, that Jesus lists in Luke 8:14, cares, riches, and pleasure, which one do you need to focus on this week and start weeding out? Maybe your prayer today is, Jesus, would you help me to identify and then weed out one of these joy killers so that my heart and so that my life can be a garden for your fruit to grow in? Remember what Jesus said in John 15. John 15, verse 5 and verse 11, he says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is, she it is, that bears much," what? "Fruit." Watch this. "Apart from me," Jesus says, "you can't do anything." And then in verse 11, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that," what? "My joy. That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you all of my joy so you can have joy in your life, in your relationships, that is able to be spread wherever you go." Don't be squeezing skunks expecting to spread joy. You just squeeze the Lord Jesus. You squeeze His Word. "Those who abide in me and in my word are really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free to do what? Spread joy wherever you go. I'm going to invite one of our ministry residents who's back from Canada, Dave Peters, to come. And Dave's going to wrap us up with just a thought or two on joy and then some next steps that you and I can take this week as we apply joy to our lives. Dave, why don't you lead us to wrap our time up today?
Thank you, Pastor David. And it is good to be back. And yeah, just some of my thoughts from this morning is that looking at joy, that it's a deep sense of well-being that is well beyond our circumstances, that's a fruit from God. And Pastor David was talking about how we can start being joy givers, and by looking at what is the joy killers in our lives and deciding that nevertheless, I'm still going to choose joy. And to choose joy is to be aware of God's goodness and actively respond with a heart of rejoicing. And yesterday, this kind of came up with a small coffee shop incident. It just wasn't matching my expectations of what I wanted to do. There was a friend of mine, and he was in a bad mood, so it was putting me in a bad mood. And I had a choice of what do I do in the circumstances. And do I kind of just follow my friend here and get upset about the circumstance of it doesn't match what it is, or do I say that nevertheless, I still choose joy? And that's what our heart is with these activity. I have books here. These activity booklets. These activity booklets, they are here to help us remind ourselves that nevertheless we choose joy. And I encourage you after the service to come up to one of these two baskets and just decide to take one of them. And whether you missed last week's and you're just jumping in this week, there are still a lot to go. Oh, and there's still a lot to go into. And my incident with the coffee shop app and that thing, I didn't instantly feel joyful after I said that. I didn't instantly feel like everything was much better. Or it was a thing of, I was making a choice that I was going to root out one of my joy killers. And it's a process. And just like Pastor David was saying about the soil and the weeds, it takes time. You plant a seed, you don't expect to eat the apple the next day. And just like joy and just like working, that's what we're trying to do here.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.